Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning. It's so good to know that we can have victory in Jesus. What a great old song of the church. And we've sung that in camp meetings. And I just finished my fourth camp meeting of the summer. And God has been blessing, and I am so thankful. I appreciate you listening today. I would just like to urge you to pray for the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. And for our friends who listen to us on WSAT in Salisbury, I'd just like to encourage you to let us know that you hear the program. We are listener-supported, and we do not receive any support from the listening audience in Salisbury, North Carolina. I think maybe I have had one letter of support since we've been on the air this year, and I would ask you to pray about helping us stay on your station there, WSAT in Salisbury. Thanks so much for considering that. And also, I would ask that you would pray for me, as this weekend, August the 3rd, I'm going to be at the Family Worship Center in Mattoon, Illinois, and then have a few more days off. Always look forward to time at home with my wife. And then August 10 to 17, I'm going to travel to Oakland City Camp Meeting in Oakland City, Indiana. And then the Revival Homecoming for Enon Baptist Church in Dillon, Virginia. That's August the 21st through the 24th. And then we will have our annual evangelist gathering in Vicksburg, Michigan at beautiful camp meeting grounds there in Vicksburg, Michigan. That's August 27 to 31, and we'll close on that Labor Day weekend. So pray for me. I appreciate it so very, very much. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience. Thank you for the privilege of sharing the message today that we shared in a camp meeting this summer, and I pray it would be a blessing to those who are listening. Be with those who are sick, those who are shut in. Continue to raise up supporters for the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, and we'll give you the praise for that. We're so grateful. You've always supplied the need, and we believe that you will continue to do that as long as you desire for this program to be on the air. We love you today. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the Word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father, the triune God. We thank you so much for who you are and what you mean to us. I pray all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, you can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. I hope to hear from you. Thanks so much.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory to the highest, I will shout and I'll sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, and by the living word of God I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God. Promises of Christ, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation. When you begin to look at the book of Revelation, you will discover that the last book of the Bible is a summary of so much that has happened, the beginning of something new about to happen, and a lot in between. When you begin to consider the book of Revelation, most think of it as a book of prophecy. I do not pretend to understand everything that's going on in the book of Revelation. I do know that Revelation is historic, but it is more. It is also about current events. And yes, it is prophetic. Jesus instructed John in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. He said, "Write therefore what you have seen
what is now and what will take place later. When I was a kid living in Salisbury, North Carolina, every once in a while I would go downtown Salisbury. And I would go to what we called then the Five and Dime store. And I can remember going into the Five and Dime store, and I would immediately go to the toy department. And there was a myriad of toys there, and there was one particular toy that I thought was very unique. You would pick it up. It was long and had a barrel at the end of it. And you would look through it like you would a spying glass. And then as you looked into it with one eye, you would turn the barrel end of that toy, and you would see crystals as they would fold over one another, displaying different images. Well, that's kind of what's going on in the book of Revelation. We see many things going on in the book of Revelation. Many would look at the book of Revelation and say that it is monochromic. That simply means that it is a chronological timeline of end-time events. But it is more than that. John's communication from Jesus to us is what we call polychromic, multifaceted, many things going on at the same time. How do you put it all together, though? I mean, there's so much there. So many things overlapping in the book of Revelation. We've read it, we've studied it, we've taught our Sunday school lessons on it, we preached our sermons from it. We've read books that try to explain it, but what is the book of Revelation? I've made an amazing discovery about the book of Revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when you read the book of Revelation with the intent of seeing Him, seeing Jesus, you will always come away blessed because you will see the unfolding nature of Jesus in the book of Revelation. As you know, this book was written to a church that was being persecuted, squeezed, and stepped on. Seven churches in various states of spiritual disrepair. Seven letters to seven churches indicating that Jesus cares about His church. Revelation is not a book of gloom and doom, but rather it is a book of victory. Jesus Christ, as revealed in the book of Revelation, is the victor. And when all is said and done, victory is promised to all who will worship Him as Lord. In chapter 1, John sees the remarkable image of Jesus. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned and I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all of its brilliance. I don't know about you, but when I read that, this description of Jesus Christ defies imagination. But then after transcribing those seven letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor, John is invited to step into the very throne room of God. It's difficult to imagine what John is seeing as he is invited to God's throne. Let you and me walk through the door with John into the throne room and see what he saw. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. The voice I first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow shone like an emerald and circled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones. Seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white, had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came the throne. Seven lamps were blazing. Flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These were the seven spirits of God. And also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. You would agree with me this morning, this is no ordinary throne room. One of the most remarkable passages, though, in the beginning of the book of Revelation, I think, is found in chapter 5. You can almost sense the emotion of John as we read the text. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scrolls?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside of it. I wept and wept because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said, "Do not weep. See, the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out from into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be as a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000, they encircled the throne, the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb be praised and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and they worshiped. They worshiped. If you would set your mind to it this morning, really concentrate on this fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. Just read it day after day, maybe for an entire week. Let it get inside of your heart. Let it get inside of your thinking. It will not be long until you realize what this chapter is all about. You say, "Lane, what is it all about?" It is nothing more or less than one great declaration of praise. It's a remarkable picture of worship. You could call it a crescendo of praise. If you know anything about music, you know that when you're reading a particular musical score, from time to time, in the ebb and flow of the musical piece, you will see lines over the score. You'll see a line that starts out with a point, and then it will begin to get wider and wider as you go down that particular part of the score. What's that mean? That means you start off a little bit softer. And then as you continue to sing, you get a little louder and a little louder and a little louder. It's kind of like that great Hallelujah chorus when they finish that great piece of Handel's Messiah with that great Hallelujah. It's a great crescendo of praise. That's what's happening here in Revelation chapter 5. John has been caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and he is taken out of his earthly surroundings and literally ushered in to the very throne room of God. John is about to witness the great musical drama of all of the ages. He walks into the throne room. He is an audience of one. Everything is being readied. The participants are gathering. The master of ceremony steps forward, introduces this great dramatic event. The opening statement is in the form of a question. Who is worthy to open the scroll and to break the seals? John, it says, is filled with sorrow because there seems to be no one who is worthy to open the scrolls or break the seals. The silence seems to be deafening. And in the midst of that somber moment that is settled upon the throne, one elder steps forward and he makes this remarkable announcement. He answers the question, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Suddenly, a heavenly choir begins to surround the throne and the Lamb of God. A 28-voice choir begins to sing this brand new song, a song that has never been sung before. The words of the song, they are so powerful. Others begin to join in and sing this brand new song. The redeemed come from under the altar. Angels come from around the four corners of the earth. Before all is said and done, 10,000 times 10,000 voices are singing this brand new song. Look at the lyrics of this song. What is this song all about? What is there in this song that would cause this kind of gathering around the throne of God? What does a song say that would make you want to sing it with all of your body language, with all of your emotion, with every ounce of your being? What would make you want to join in and sing this brand new song? Who, what could be the subject of this brand new song? I will tell you the subject of this song. It is the divine Son of God, Jesus Himself. We gather in a service like this to do what? To worship. To sing the songs of Zion. To hear the Word of God proclaimed. We have come for one primary purpose this morning, and that is to worship. To worship God in all of His fullness. I sometimes wonder if we understand what worship is all about. Do you know what the word worship really means? When you study the etymology of the word worship in the English language, you'll find that it is comprised of two words. Worth it. Worth it. We've come to look Jesus full in the face this morning and say, "You're worth it. You're worthy of our worship. You are worthy." But you might think to yourself, worthy of what? Let's go to the passage. We find there in Revelation chapter 5, in a loud voice, they were saying this: "Worthy is the Lamb, Jesus, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and praise." He is worthy to receive power. You talk about power this morning? He's got it. He is all powerful. Jesus is the causer of all that's been caused, but never been caused Himself. My father was a wonderful evangelist for 60 years. I loved to hear my dad preach. My dad would get in that preacher rhythm that he had, and the words would just flow off of his lips. People have often asked me, "Do you preach like your dad?" I say very quickly, "I can never preach like my father." He was one of the great pulpiteers of his generation. But he described this great creator Jesus like this. He said it was Jesus who struck the womb of night with his male fist, and 10 billion stars gleamed across the stretches of boundless space. It was this Jesus who set the queen of night in her orbit to shed a golden ray of light across the midnight sky. It was this Jesus who set the furnace of the sun on fire to shed rays of warmth to Mother Earth, scooped out valleys, upreared the mountains, said thus far to ocean waves, shalt thou come and no further. It was this Jesus who carpeted the earth with verdant green, laced it with running brooks and flowing rivers, and set the evening star to set like a lone sentinel on guard duty in the western horizon. He painted the late afternoon sunset with the golden hues of heaven's beauty, blew his breath upon the petal of a rose, turned it to a velvet pink, a golden yellow, a crimson red, or a lily white. He picked up dust and made man in the likeness of his own image. He breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And just before Jesus returned to heaven, he said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the creator of all things. He is the God of the universe. He has all power. He has all authority. He speaks and demons flee. He speaks and seas grow calm. He speaks and leprosy disappears. He speaks and a fig tree dies. He speaks and the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the dumb talk. He speaks and death listens.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury; in the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria; and here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.